Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe with RT.ie. Before I introduce our first guest, I just want to read out, if I can, two emails we got recently, and we didn't know what to do with them, but now it's fallen into our next caller's lap, because this is, hi Joe, I would love to get your listeners' view on how I can live with my conspiracy theory wife. She is in full belief that the COVID pandemic is in fact a plandemic, and anyone that believes in it is a sheep or asleep. She is constantly on Facebook in her secret groups, dismissing all the hard work the government and frontline staff are doing and announcing the lies that are being spread. Every day is a new argument. I have tried to stay out of her way and not bring up the subject, but it's impossible in today's environment. I am at my wit's end with her pseudoscience and fear that this will end our marriage. How can I deal with this? I really don't want to lose her. Second email. I would like Joe to highlight the growing infiltration of QAnon groups, which have steadily been growing here in Ireland, having originated a few years ago in America. I am wondering how to help a loved one overcome by the highly gripping nature of this group, which has the potential to take over a person's time, thoughts and life. I only learned about the existence of such a movement in the past few months, especially around the time of the presidential election in America, as many QAnon members support Trump. My family member got sucked into QAnon throughout lockdown in the past year. They were working from home and were on their own. As other family members continued to go out to work, they had spare time on their hands. Cannabis use also came into the equation. It escalated and the person became isolated from family and friends. They were consumed with injustices going on around the world. QAnon appears to become all-consuming. Initially, some of their beliefs were credible and justifiable, as some scandals were emerging in this country, i.e. mother and baby homes, illegal adoptions, orphanages, etc. I just didn't realise how far it could take a person away from reality, their work and the people I love. And that's why Keelan Robertson is on the line. Keelan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
OK, you were living in Kilkenny until what, you were 13?
Yeah, so I left when I was 13 to move to Cheshire, which is just under Manchester in the UK.
Okay, now you've written recently about your own path, and beginning with your attraction to, Caelan, to far-right groups. How did that start?
Well, I was never really political when I was 19 and 20 when I moved to London. I was openly gay, but I wasn't really engaged in kind of any type of politics. I knew that homophobia was bad. That's something I always knew. But I remember the Orlando shooting happened, America's worst last shooting, 50 gay people killed in a nightclub. And I wanted to know why that happened. I didn't know anything about Islam. And millions of other people my age didn't know about it either. So I took to YouTube to figure out the answers. I didn't grow up on mainstream media, on newspapers, watching TV. I grew up on the internet. So I remember the top rated results at that time were all organizations which are hard right, like Rebel Media, InfoWars by Alex Jones. It was very, very far-right personalities who were standing outside the scene of the Orlando shooting saying, this is because of Islam. It was gay people protesting it. It was people like Milo Yiannopoulos. It looked like a very diverse crowd of people. And they were all saying that Islam and this verse and this verse in the Quran is at war with the LGBT community and also the West. And these videos, after I watched a couple of them, I was recommended hundreds and hundreds more over the coming weeks. I would listen to them on the way to work. I would listen to them all the time. Mm-hmm. They would start expanding. YouTube would recommend more and more radical stuff from people like Stefan Molyneux, who would push sort of racial qualities to all of this stuff, who would start being very, very heavily critical of mass immigration into Europe. And really, I started to just really start listening to it all the time, really started believing a lot of it. The mainstream media at the time hadn't really addressed why Orlando happened. They had just sort of reported it as happening. And they seemed to offer this sort of holy grail of answers. Obviously, looking back now, it's all propaganda. It's all nonsense. But it made me go and pick up a camera and go and make content like that in Britain. And I was the first one to do it. So I would go to left-wing rallies. I would interview people and put out montages. I did the same in Dublin at the Repeal the 8th March because I felt like after consuming hours and days of this content on the internet that had been pumped into my mind, that that the left and the mainstream media were taking over, and they wanted to flood our countries with people that don't look like us, and they wanted, they didn't care about gay people or women's rights, and they didn't even know why they were protesting. And genuinely, I felt like I was in this sort of strange, like, crusade, myself and millions of others who were watching my videos and Rebel Media videos, to kind of wake people up. And that was the beginning of that journey that took me all across the world, working with Alex Jones, Lauren Southern. I directed all of their documentaries and sort of was really ended up being part of that system that had pumped all the information into me back in early 2016.
And so take us, Caelan. Sorry, just to your work. What you say? You filmed that Repeal the Eight demos in Dublin or whatever. What did you doctor? What did you do with those videos?
Also, I mean, at the time, there was this big climate in the United States for left-wing media, actually, where they would go to Trump supporter rallies and they would go to right-wing rallies and they would make everyone look stupid and they would interview the dumbest person. That's okay. Unethical. And I thought, well, actually, the right needs to do that too, even though that doesn't make it right. And I would go to those rallies and I would find the people who weren't the most educated, who weren't the most queued up, and I would, you know, ask them basic questions and then sort of cut it up, you know, deceptively like they did in that sort of American-style politics and put it out. And unfortunately, they were quite well-viewed. I think it got 3 million views or something in Ireland on Facebook, and obviously massively regret that content because two wrongs don't make a right, and deception is obviously a horrible thing to take part in. But I genuinely felt like it was important to wake people up and to sort of bombast the left in that way.
And Caelan, did you your propulsion for that filmmaking about Repeal the Eight, was that from being anti-abortion or anti-left-wing? Do you follow me?
Anti-left-wing. I mean, okay. it was the idea that there was loads of young people with blue hair and pink hair, and they were sort of the ones that were pushing all of this stuff anyway in Europe and in America. They were sort of perceived as and sort of peddled to the top of, like, the ultimate villain, right? It was all of these sort of white liberals, and that's what it was about. I really didn't know anything about abortion when I made that video. It was just about, you know, anti-left-wing content.
So you picked out the people who were, what, most inarticulate, or did you actually edit it in such a way that they were made look inarticulate?
Probably a mixture of both. Okay. The people that were didn't really know why they were there, maybe they were there with friends and weren't too invested in the issue, and then obviously topped it up in a way that was misleading, which obviously I massively regret. But at the time, again, I felt like the West was at war with this stuff. I felt like we needed as many supporters as possible to be on side with all of this. Again, the reason I'm telling you and speaking publicly about it being deceptively edited is because those videos, and I've taken down as many as I can, and there are thousands of others that weren't associated with me, are still going viral online to this day. And people who watch them need to know that it is deceptive. They frame themselves as anti-mainstream media. We're the real truth. We're the real journalists. We're going out. But actually, it's as bad or if not worse than the stuff that they did to Trump supporters and right-wingers in America.
And they also say when you get into an argument or try and get into an argument to conspiracy theorists, for example, they'd say to you, well, I've seen more videos than you will ever see. I've read more than you. They profess to know more than you. But you're saying a lot of the videos they're looking at and are being directed to are doctored.
Well, this is why I think it's important to talk about it from a doctored sense and from the people that are propagating these conspiracy theories. The people like Alex Jones who pushed Pizzagate and pushed QAnon and pushed all of these conspiracy theories to dominate our culture now.
Pizzagate, again, a little health warning for our listeners. Pizzagate is where, what, they said Hillary Clinton was running a paedophile ring out of pizza shops or something.
Which sounds bizarre, but someone turned up with a gun and millions of people believed that view. Look at the people that stormed the Capitol on the 6th of January. Look at the people, 45%, if not more, of Republicans who thought the election was stolen. It's a mainstream issue, but you can't beat it by trying to tackle it with reason. I feel like the only way it's going to work, which is what I'm doing now, is to actually tackle the people at the top of it who are profiting of it, who don't believe any of it. The people that I worked with very closely didn't really believe any of it themselves, but they were making, you know, millions and millions of dollars a year doing it, selling T-shirts and selling mugs. Those people aren't invested in it. And the people that are the victims of all of this are the people that you read out the emails of at the start of this phone call, are the people who are sitting at home, are Facebook moms, especially during the pandemic, who are consuming all of this stuff online and genuinely feeling like there are child sex trafficking rings all across the UK. And demonizing these people isn't helpful because I think these people are victims. A lot of them genuinely think that children are being abused all across the world and in these terrible rings. And it's a maternal thing. And it comes from a place of them genuinely thinking they want to help kids. But it needs to be exposed to people that are propagating it, the people that are profiting of it, and the people that don't care about the victims of it. It's growing. The only reason we aren't seeing it even more strongly at the moment is because we've had the lockdown all across the world. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen people take to the streets in the same numbers they have before. But if we didn't have the lockdown, we'd be having a much more serious conversation about just how prevalent it is.
And I'm reading from, you're the main focus of an article in the New York Times last week, Caelan. But the subhead says, focus on, this seems to be their MO, focus on conflict, feed the algorithm, make sure whatever you produce reinforces a narrative. Don't worry if it is true.
Look, when you're radicalized and you're inside of those movements, that's what you become. I genuinely felt like if I want to bend the truth or I want to manipulate something, if that's going to still wake people up and stop gay people being murdered in nightclubs and stop, mm-hmm. anti-white hatred and mass migration happening, then that's fine. And YouTube fed those algorithms. And every time we created a video that was more and more violent or more and more extreme, YouTube would recommend them. One thing I gave to the New York Times that was really shocking is inside access to the biggest, most high-profile far-right and conspiracy theory channels in America for the first time ever. And they found that over 60 or 70% of the views of those videos and impressions were recommended to non-subscribers and people that weren't looking for it. So this isn't Facebook moms. This isn't the people who emailed you. They weren't looking for any of this stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was all pushed to them and given to them by the algorithms of social media companies that dominate our entire cultures now. They've been responsible for uprisings in Myanmar and places all across the world, and this is just a small fraction of it. I obviously feel very guilty about it. It's very embarrassing to talk about it, but I feel like it's important, because if I can say as a video maker who was part of that disinformation that it's all nonsense, then hopefully it'll make people who believe in it realize, from the creators, not from the media, not from their friends, that actually it's a bending of the truth. And that doesn't mean their questions are inaccurate. My questions about whether Islam is compatible with gay people are still there. I'm not on the far left now, not even close to that. But I know that the answers to that stuff, demonizing of other people, demonizing of Muslims or left-wing groups or people like that, leads to the same real-world violence, like we saw at Charlottesville, like we saw at Christchurch, and like we saw at Orlando.
And Caelan, but some of the conspiracy theories that we've heard here in Ireland in the last few weeks even are so outlandish that they're laughable. Like, there was a group, it was a Saturday about 6 weeks ago in outside the GPO in Dublin, which I'm sure you know, and a group of them were claiming that young babies, I'm very conscious of young ears, but young babies were being killed and what was being extracted from their bodies to be used to keep RTE presenters young-looking, and their bodies were being buried under the new children's hospital. And people were interviewed saying this, and they didn't break into hysterical laughter. They kept a straight face. They believed this nonsense. But that's so but that's so outlandish, Caelan, that...
Well, because if you lived in a small town 20, 30 years ago, there would always be one nut job who would believe something like that down the pub, and everyone would ignore them. But now they go on the internet, and they can start a Facebook group chat, and they're no longer tied by the physical geography of the area that they're living in. They can find 250 other people in small towns that believe the same thing. And then suddenly it's legitimate, and it's a movement, and it's a real thing, and it exists, and they're valid. And this is because of social media companies allowing all of this stuff to thrive, knowing about it and allowing all of it to thrive.
Let me take a quick break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We do not wish to cast aspersions on any individual, so apologies to the individual mentioned there before the break. I'm talking to Caelan Robertson. Caelan is originally from Kilkenny, lived there, as he said, he was 13, moved to London with his family, came out as gay, and then, for various reasons which he explained, got involved in the alt-right movement, and he now has obviously changed his mind dramatically in terms of telling the truth. And he's saying that he was making videos, deliberately doctoring videos, including videos he made about the Repeal the Eight supporters, and the purpose of this video was to make them look stupid or unwelcome, so to speak. Tell us about your work, Caelan, with Tommy Robinson, who'll be well known in Ireland. He's a character in the UK primarily. But tell us about your work with the far-right activist Tommy Robinson.
Well, so because I didn't really grow up much in the UK and wasn't engaged in politics, I didn't know about the English Defence League and the sort of crazy stuff that he was involved in before. But I was hired after I did a couple of Streeter videos speaking to feminists by Ezra Levant from Rebel Media, and he had just employed Tommy Robinson as a co-presenter. So that's how I was introduced to him, really. He seemed really lovely. I mean, I had Googled him as a cursory thing, and he, you know, there was a lot of negative news articles about him, but I guess at the time I didn't believe the mainstream media, but it was all lies, and he convinced me it was because of snobbery, because he was working class. He said, Caelan, you're gay, I've got loads of gay friends, and your opinions and your views and your fears about Islam are valid, and you could be killed in this country in 20, 30 years if you keep allowing mass immigration from people that hate you, and et cetera. And he said that all assertions on him of being racist were nonsense, and he was really lovely, but I started making his content for a long time. We traveled up and down the UK. We became the second most viewed politics channel on YouTube at that time, sort of, you know, going to different towns across the UK and spouting lots of different stuff. We organized a rally outside Downing Street called Day for Freedom, which was, you know, 15, 20,000 people strong, and that was about Twitter censorship and Facebook censorship. But I sort of fell disenfranchised with a lot of this stuff because towards the end, the views that these people spout publicly is actually very, very, very different to what they believe behind the scenes. Publicly, the views of people like Tommy and him himself would always be that Islam is very different from Muslims. And you can criticize Islam as an ideology, but criticizing Muslims is demonizing individuals. Yeah, and we would always make that distinction. But over time, that would start to be very, very blurred, and it really started to delve into racism. And that's something that made me sort of walk away from a lot of that stuff. But we were sort of really essential in his growth at that time, which I regret massively. I mean, he's had his videos taken down off YouTube now and shrunk quite a lot because of censorship. But yeah, if I knew who he was when I first met him, I would never have gone down that path.
And did you doctor videos to make it look like he was the victim of an assault?
So we went to, there was this big rush from US attention at the moment for these no-go zones, quote unquote, that existed in Europe at the time. And it was about these very, very dangerous and violent areas. And I remember we traveled across Europe for a while, and he got into a confrontation with a migrant outside a train station. I didn't edit the video because I felt it was like way too far, but I allowed it to happen by him giving it to his brother to edit. And it basically reversed the situation. And the raw footage showed that the migrant was innocent and the victim of an assault. And Tommy was the person that was winding him up and pushing him in front of a car, which the New York Times released last week. And that was something that I released to show directly to Tommy supporters, of which there are millions in this country, that if you hear that he's a con from the mainstream media, they're not going to believe it. If you hear it from anybody, you're not going to believe it. But if you see the footage yourself and you see it in real life, then it's basically indisputable. So that's why I released that. But there was a lot of times I sort of bended the truth and manipulated information because, again, it was about the greater cause. I was a radical person as well. I genuinely believed that, you know, there was this elite that wanted to destroy us all. And, you know, if it means that we have to bend the truth, that's what we're going to do.
And do you, Ben? Caelan, I go back to the two letters that I read out at the start of the program, and look for your response. But like one listener says, he believes that his wife's attraction to these conspiracy theories and QAnon has grown during the pandemic because of being people are locked in, so to speak, more time on the laptop, more time on the computer. They look at one conspiracy theory and suddenly they go down a rabbit hole. Has the pandemic made a difference?
The pandemic has accelerated everything that we've been seeing tenfold. There's been studies in the US that have been carried out recently that have found that there's a direct correlation between the amount of time you spend on social media and radicalization. And the amount of time that we have spent on social media in the last 13 months has been 100 times more than it would have been before. So we've seen a massive, massive increase in this, in people that are staying at home and just scrolling through their news feeds and getting recommended and recommending more and more extreme content that Facebook will put up with and basically allow. And the only reason we're not taking it seriously and the only reason we're not absolutely horrified by it is because of lockdown. People can't protest right now, and we haven't mm-hmm. seen tens of thousands of people taking to the streets, which we would be right now, given how many more people are becoming radical. It's why I set up Future Freedom, my organization, to get people out of the far right, because when I saw what happened at the January 6th riots in America and all of the similar stuff that's happening in the UK and all these far right terror plots, all these people radicalized on the internet, and it's getting far and far worse. And there's no one really specifically dealing with it from a perspective of someone that was inside of it and who understands it that intimately. But it's very dangerous. And the advice as well, if your wife or if your kids or a partner has gone down this path, is genuinely it's a waste of time arguing whether it's right or wrong, okay, or the facts, or showing them mainstream media articles, because it's too far gone. Everything that's fact-based is discredited. The only thing that you can do is, from a non-judgmental perspective, and I'm making a booklet about this, is to encourage critical thinking. Definitely don't blame yourself. It's not your fault if your partner or someone you know has gone down this path. And to talk more about the people that are propagating it, not the ideas, the people that are making money from it, and doing research into that and the stuff that we're going to be putting out, and realizing that actually they're a victim of a huge, well-funded ecosystem that is set up to drain money from these people and to monetize their shock and horror.
How do they get money off these people, Caelan?
Well, there's merchandising, there's advertising on conspiracy theory websites. Obviously, okay, I won't name anyone in particular, but the biggest conspiracy theory website I worked for made $60 million a year selling merchandise. So it's a very well-funded organization that profits off people's fears, and women's fears about children, and maternal fears about children being, you know, raped and things like this, these horrible ideas. And it's really, really, really dark. And it's more about talking about it from that perspective than trying to sort of go into the actual ideas themselves.
And Caelan, when you were, as you say, propagating these conspiracy theories and doctoring videos and working for alt-right groups, what was the reaction of your family and friends?
My friends completely cut me off. They stopped speaking to me. And again, that fuels the echo chamber. This is what happens to a lot of young people. The further down this rabbit hole you go, the more you lose touch with reality and people who are normal around you. And you stop having your views questioned and you start becoming more extreme because they're never confronted. And you lose touch with reality, that your new friends become radicals like yourself. And so that was an extremely difficult time. My family have been very supportive in a lot of ways through the whole thing. I think they've seen what was happening from the outside, and it's been just an incredibly it was an incredibly difficult time. And walking away took 2 years just to recover and just to go back into normal society. And I ended up working in a pub for a while just to reconnect with normal people again, just to understand what it was like to have a real conversation, just how it was to understand how different the real world was from the world that I had been fed online.
And how did you survive financially when you were working for? Did they pay you?
Who? Well, the people who I was working with.
Yes.
I was paid a basic salary. I released my finances to the Independent to show I wasn't making money from money from any of this stuff. But I was paid a basic salary by Tommy and everyone. When I left, I got an honest job in a bar, and now I work for Byline TV in London. So there was no nefarious money issues. It was fairly straightforward.
Okay, Con is on the line. Con is in Cork, 1850-715-815-joe@rte.ie. Con, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I just want to, I'd be fairly new to social media. You know, I'd be only on it, looking through them in the last 3 or 4 months. And be quite honest with you, I just can't believe the amount of right-wing propaganda and lies that comes through on the channels, we say, that comes through my phone. It's frightening. And I just made the point, I think the social media companies and the bosses and all these should be doing more to curtail these false lies that they're allowing people to read, and worse, I suppose, to believe. I mean, I suppose it's really shown it through the last 12, 13 months. People have been trolling through all these, I suppose, at home, you know, no work, and they're getting really, really into that. Where I live, I know there is a few people I know now, and they're really gone down, as they say, the rabbit hole. And now I do my best. When I see them, I talk to them, I say hello. But I would never, ever try to persuade them that they're wrong. I just try to talk to them and give different points of views and have a conversation that the people you're listening to and the people you're believing are probably making millions and millions and living in mansions somewhere, and they don't give one damn about you. That's what I...
Which Caelan would agree with. But Caelan, also, do you think the social media companies should be doing more?
Massively more. Okay. I just to check, if you said that you're from the fishing industry, I spoke to a fisherman 3 months ago who has lost his entire livelihood. He's lost 99% of his business. And I interviewed him for Byline, and he said, I regret voting leave. I feel like I was lied to, and Nigel Farage and a lot of people are not accusing Nigel Farage of lying, of course, but a lot of the people behind the Leave campaign aren't there now representing their industry. But all of this was done on the internet, and all of this is done on Facebook, and now we're seeing the devastating real-life impacts of all of that. Social media companies need to be held to account far more. I still have insights that show that they're still recommending hundreds of millions of views a week to people that aren't subscribed to channels that are far-right, that are just normal people on the internet who are browsing. And people are still being pumped full of this content. And as trust in mainstream media declines over time, which is something that has been happening for years, it's only going to become more and more of an issue.
Okay. And Caelan, how does this sit with you? Because it is a very, on the one hand, it's a very brave thing you've done. And you say you're doing it out of truth, and that's been your explanation here. I don't think anyone would disbelieve you. But you are actually saying publicly, I lied.
Because it's important, and it's embarrassing that I lied, and I wish I could, one part of me says, well, I should just disappear and carry on doing my producer's job now and go and live a normal life. But when I see the scenes at the Capitol riots on January 6th, when I see that this stuff is still happening, when I see that even though I was a tiny cog in this machine, the machine is still a monster and going out, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I feel like genuinely I won't be able to sleep at night unless I can start exposing a lot of those lies and literally start coming out and saying, actually, I was one of those liars. I don't believe this stuff anymore. But please, if you're not going to listen to the media and you're not going to listen to your friends or family, listen to the person that made the videos that you're watching, because they will know the truth.
And you are one of those people, and you're saying you deliberately doctored videos to make people of a certain political disposition look stupid, so to speak.
Yeah, to fit a narrative. When you're radicalized on the internet, everything is about your narrative and your side of the war, and that's how it is. That's how it is still now on the internet to this day.
And it comes back to that headline: focus on conflict, feed the algorithm, make sure whatever you produce reinforces a narrative, and don't worry if it is true or not, obviously. Okay, apparently One American News, I don't know whether you're familiar with that channel, Caelan, is still referring to President Trump and Mr. Biden.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's still an incredibly well-funded, huge ecosystem that's carrying on. And One America News Network, as well as Newsmax, are taking all of Fox News' viewers away. They are exploding at the moment. With new viewerships, because of radicalization becoming more and more extreme, people are flocking to more and more fringe websites that will feed them their worldview and feed them the worldview that, the election was stolen and that there's still a conspiracy theory about Hillary Clinton. And it's just indicative and far more damning. But their viewerships are going through the roof at the moment, which is, again, terrifying.
Okay. Tell us about the organization you've now set up. It's called Freedom... Future Freedom. Yeah, tell us about that, Caelan.
So when the January 6th attack happened at the Capitol in Washington, I reached out to a few people that are still involved in the far right, who I hadn't spoken to in a few years, and I asked them why they're still doing it, because a lot of them know that it's nonsense and they're still involved. And they said because no one has ever left before, and left in a way that they weren't absolutely destroyed and scrutinized. You can walk away from a far-right group in the 80s, and no one will know you're involved in it. The newspapers get, thrown in the bin, and then there's no track record of it. And a huge amount of them are terrified about their future, and also terrified about how they'll be perceived and going back to their family and friends. And they want an example of people that have been able to do it, that they can follow, that they can kind of feel like they can do it as well. So we elevate stories from people all around the world who have been a victim of this radicalization, obviously starting with my story, Caleb Kane, who was a subject to a high-profile New York Times article a couple of years ago after Christchurch. as well as key organizers in far-right groups in America. And we tell those stories and elevate those stories and allow people to come forward in a safe, non-judgmental way. We don't expect you to go and be left-wing or go and be a communist or go and do anything else of that matter. All we care about is that you walk away from the far right and go and reconnect with your family and live a normal life again, as well as providing resources to expose the people behind all of this, to expose social media company algorithms, and to expose the people profiting from it.
And Caelan, is it, you mentioned the new world we live in, so to speak, but is it difficult for you to erase videos you made, which you now admit are untrue?
It's very, very difficult. Oh, I still get recognized in the street once a week from people that watch my videos that are still on Rebel Media, of which have over 100 million views combined, who say, oh, keep up good work. And I have to explain to them, look, stop watching this stuff. It really didn't come from a place of truth. And I can't take those videos down. I still get messages every day online of people who are watching it. And that's incredibly difficult. And I don't really know. That's another reason I started Future Freedom, was so people could go to my profile and then they could discover that. And they could discover the links to Future Freedom and go down that route and actually have conversations.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes, Con, yes.
I'd like to say that Caelan there, I mean, it's guys like that that should be promoted more on mainstream media, with, say, on television, radio, like we're doing here now. And there's believing people do actually still listen to the radio and they do watch television all the time. So I think if he could be promoted more, and if there is more people like him out there that can tell, that can say, look, what I was telling you was complete and utter lies, untruths, I think it would help a lot, to be honest with you.
Okay. Caelan Robertson, thanks indeed, Caelan. Appreciate your time, Con Foley. Does Maria want to make a point to Caelan? Go ahead. Maria.
Hello, Joe. I'm just listening. I agree about far right, that they do go too far, but we never hear anything about the left. Like to Putin in Russia, what he's doing now at the moment to the Crimea and Ukraine. And I just wanted to make that point. It's always the far right, sort of, you know.
But do we not hear a lot about Putin and Crimea and
No, we don't hear
Ukraine
anyone on your programme ever or any other discussion programmes I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody coming on the airwaves complaining. We see it on the news. But that's just as
what do you want to... Sorry, what... Like, the President Biden said recently when he was asked, was Vladimir Putin a killer? And he said yes. Now, I heard that on RTE.
Yeah, but it's not discussed on the like of your programme or other discussions, even on News Talk, say. You know, we don't, on discussion programmes on those stations, we don't hear people ringing in complaining about the far left, say.
Okay, Caelan, can you speak to that?
Look, I mean, there are problems on both sides of media. I'm not RTE, I think, are similar to the BBC in terms of they're disliked by both the left and the right, which means they're doing something right. They're pretty much down the middle. But the media has got problems. One of the reasons that I was radicalized by the Orlando shooting in America was because no mainstream media outlet was talking about what inspired that. They weren't talking about the Quran and they weren't talking about Islam. They did when the Christchurch shooting happened. They looked through his far-right manifesto. So I do think there are problems in the media that still exist. However, I don't think it lands with RTE and BBC and CNN. I think it's more sort of actually opening left-leaning outlets. I think there's a good healthy conversation being raised on this show, happening on this show. But, of course there are problems on both sides. I'm just saying that there is a more of a problem on the far right. That's where most of the terror plots are being foiled right now. And that's what the biggest threat of far right terror, the biggest threat of terrorism in America right now is from white supremacists on the far right. So that's where the focus really should be as well.
Okay. And
I just didn't want to have a big discussion. I'm just making my point.
Okay. It's not part of the discussion, Marie. But where do you get your media from or your information from? You mentioned RT and News Talk. Who else do you listen to?
News Talk. Mostly those two stations.
Okay.
The odd time, Today FM, and I read the Irish Times and Sunday Independent and Sunday Times.
Okay, well, that's a good range. That's a good range.
It is, yeah.
That's a good range. Okay, Maria, thanks indeed. Caitlin Robertson, thanks indeed. Con Foley also. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
RT.ie, Joe at RT.ie, Kieran Fitzpatrick. Kieran, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. It's Kieran here, yep.
Yeah, you are speaking for a lot of people because we're getting a lot of traffic on this, and this is the belief that some of the, and it's been going on for a while now, but some of the superstores, and we saw the Tesco results last week. They're a public company. Their sales are up dramatically in Ireland and the UK. And the last, they don't publish their profits in Ireland, but their profits in the UK, their profits are actually down, but their volume is up. But the reason why they say their profits are down is temporary because of COVID regulations, etc., etc. Now, Kieran, who do you have an issue with? You own a toy store.
Yeah, I'm Bamba Toy Master in Mary Street.
One of the best.
Okay, right.
Well, now, just for people who don't know, Bamba Toy Master in Dublin, it's just up past Penny's. It's on the corner there. It's one of the best toy shops in the country. I love going into it. I always have since the kids were knee high to whatever. You have a fantastic range, not just of toys, and of puzzles and games and Lego and Meccano. It's a brilliant shop. Now, I'm not advertising it because you're not open.
No, I haven't been open the last 16 weeks. I just did the wages
wow.
this morning and I realised we're in week 16 of this last lockdown. Okay, well, basically, I'm a frustrated toy boy and I've gone on a crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And my mission is to get retailers to stop selling toys, those that are open, the bricks and mortar shops that are allowed to open at the moment,
okay.
the so-called essential retailers.
Yeah.
Okay, right, I'll tell my story.
Yeah.
Last Monday, I got a WhatsApp from a colleague of mine in Bailey, Donegory, complaining that Lidl had the brochure that was promoted in the Sunday magazines. There was a two-page spread of toys.
Okay.
That was going on sale on last Thursday. So, in frustration, I spoke with Duncan Graham from Retail Excellent, and Duncan forwarded me an email from the Department of Enterprise about mm-hmm. non-essentials in essential stores.
Okay.
And the last line is, if you wish to raise a complaint about suspected breaches of regulation, please contact your local guard station.
Okay.
So, okay, my trail was up, so I headed up to Santry Guard Station with the brochure.
Mm-hmm.
And in fairness to the guard there, he said, the offence hasn't been committed yet because it's the 15th.
Okay, good point.
And,
yeah,
and this was on the 12th. So that was fine. I accepted that and I said, right, we'll see you on Thursday. So then I headed up to Pavilion and Swords.
Okay.
A colleague of mine has told me, because he knew my tail was up. So I went into a large grocery store
mm-hmm.
and purchased a doll there. And the receipt, as I've sent in to your colleagues, it says toys $12.99. So it was a doll. It's a Disney princess doll from Hasbro.
Yeah.
So I said, right, I'll go to my local guard station. So I went to Swords guard station.
Okay.
And I made my complaint. The guard there was a bit confused, went off, spoke to the sergeant, came back and with more words, went off again and said, okay, she'd have to ring me back. Which, in fairness, she did. She rang me back on Tuesday.
Okay.
Basically saying that they've checked all the regulations and there's nowhere in the regulation it actually states what are non-essential. I have Googled and Googled
mm-hmm.
and I cannot find a list of non-essential items. I find a view a list of essential retail outlets.
Okay.
Everything's about essential stuff, but there's nothing about non-essential. At this stage, I should say that in fairness to Lidl, on Tuesday, they sent out a middle aisle update.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read from it.
Yeah.
Since the government's announcement outlining the level 5 restriction from the close of business on 31st December, we have taken a number of steps to ensure that we are fully compliant with the new regulation. We will not be putting on sale any items deemed non-essential, e.g. casual clothing, baby toys, etc., we will be removing, sorry, also in the process of removing from sale any residual stock previously non-essential promotions. And they go ahead and they list 22 items, the items they have in their catalogue. So, in fairness to Lidl, they knew the law and they behaved it.
But you bought, it's not the Barbie doll, it's the Disney princess doll.
Yeah, Disney princess.
But you bought that in Dunn's in the pavilion.
I did indeed.
Now, did you bring that with you to the Garda station?
I did indeed.
And what was the reaction when a grown man walks into a Garda station with a doll under his arm, or princess, whatever her name is, from Frozen or whatever?
Well, the guard was a little bit...
Bemused
and went off and checked for the sergeant, took me seriously, and because I had a bit of paperwork with me.
Okay.
So then on Tuesday, I went to Dunn's on Henry Street and purchased a similar doll and went down to Storsey Garda Station. The guard took all the details and he said he'd come back to me. I haven't heard back from him since.
I'm not being facetious now, Karen, because I don't know how you've all managed to sit back. I know everyone says it's for the greater good, but you are being smacked in the face every single day by the big boys. You really are.
And yeah, well, in fairness to a lot of the big boys, now we're closed. Smiths are closed. Those that are open, yeah. Tesco. In fairness to Tesco, they have cordoned off their toy section.
I know that. So they're not selling toys.
Yeah, I've been into Woody's. They've closed off their party wares. And then when I was out doing deliveries, I went by the range and went in there, and they've cordoned off.
Okay.
Stuff. Since then, I've had lots of phone calls. I cannot name stores because I haven't personally been in there to buy it. But one of my next port calls will be up to Liffey Valley. A big retailer there is selling toys. So my mission now is a call to arms to all independent retailers, toy retailers. Go to a local store that is selling toys, buy one, and go to your local guard station.
But do you think anything's going to happen apart from?
Well, and I'm going to call on the our politicians, like our Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar. A statement here that I got on Google. Leo Varadkar confirmed supermarkets are not allowed to sell clothes or toys during level 5.
Okay, well, hang on. Just let me bring in. I want to go. Well, David McCarthy, quickly. David is in Galway. You sell mid-range Portuguese women's wear. And how are you seeing similar products on sale? You're shut down. Are you seeing similar products on sale in bigger stores that happen to sell food?
Good afternoon, Joe. Yes, we have a brand called Lanidor in Galway. It's the first one in country. It's a Portuguese franchise. And we actually launched a campaign only a few days ago to highlight this issue. And the reality of it is we are in Eyre Street in Galway. We have two large multiples within 100 yards either side of our store. We're open since 2017. We were open for 2 years and 4 months, shut for 12 months now. And they're blatantly flouting the law, selling clothes. And it is very hard to stomach. So we have made a complaint to the Gardaí about it. They have come back to us. And I don't foresee anything to happen. But we're going to take our own steps in this regard.
What do you mean?
Well, basically what I mean is that we've started this to obviously highlight the issue of small retailers like ourselves who would adhere to all of the regulations, and we've never attempted to flaunt them. But we now have, I suppose, lost patience. So we are intending to open in contravention of the COVID. We do not want to do it, but we are intending to open our store in the next week to 10 days at a time to be announced. And we'll
But you know
what
will happen, David? Well, the Gardaí will be outside your premises.
Well, that's fine. But do you know what, Joe? They could turn around and look across the street at the window of these stores and tell me why they're not closing them. It's a bit like a guard arriving in two pubs after hours, one is across the street from the other, and they close one and they leave the other open. That's exactly what it's like.
And do you, for example, though I know the answer, is what store are you complaining about, fairly?
Well, can I mention them?
Yes, if you're being honest with me, I hope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because we've done our research on this.
Yes.
Okay. We have a Dunn stores 100 yards down the street.
Have you said, because Duns are coming up again, and I half know the answers. Have you said, say, to the manager in the Duns stores, listen, we're living side by side, existing side by side. We live in the same city. We probably kids, if we're lucky enough to have kids in the same schools, but it's not fair what you're doing.
But Joe, the problem here is, fairness to the poor fellow,
he or she would say head office.
Yeah, he's a cog in the wheel. We have said it. But you know, it's not fair on the staff. It's not fair on the management at local level. And on the other side of us, we have M&S, all right, another 100 yards up the street. And in fact, actually, in Galway, there are 6 enormous Dunn stores. I mean, they're all huge.
Yeah.
And they're all selling clothes like as if it's Christmas, Joe.
And what were you saying about M&S?
Well, we have M&S store in the Carb Centre in Air Street in Galway, where Debenhams used to be. They're trading there. So they're on the left-hand side of us, and their closed section has been trading and open. And the other thing I will just say to Joe is, if you go into any of the stores, and look, you just walk into any of them in Dublin, this is a nationwide problem, and they're putting up bits of, tape around the place, and they're actually playing games very often with the public coming in or somebody's monitoring them. You know, it's
The lesson will be, the proof will be if the barcode is accepted at the checkout, which it is, I presume.
Yeah. I don't know if it's accepted, but the checkouts are manned. I mean, there's one enormous store here in Galway, out in Knocknacarra. It's a fairly recent store. And you walk in there, you turn left to the groceries, beautiful store, it's all the new Dunn's look. You turn right, you've got the clothes and the homeware, and it's open season. And we are sitting here 2.5 years open with an enormous investment in the stock and in our premises.
Okay.
And it's a David and Goliath situation.
What will happen to you if you don't open in the next few days?
Well, we hope we can see this out, but we don't know. Nobody does know.
Okay, Paul Corson. Paul, you actually sent us in photographs.
I did, Joe.
How are you? Paul, you work for DuBarry.
I do work for DuBarry. My initial contact was just as a Paul public.
Okay, so we'll try and get a better line, Paul, because the other thing you've sent in is photographs. Now, they are funny, and I'll get Paul to verify them in a sec, but like there's a rack of ladies' jumpers, it looks like, a rack, and that's been squeezed in beside a rack of chef brown sauce, right? There's a rack of ladies' dresses, and that's shoved in between the milk and the McCain oven chips. I'll get the name of the store in a minute. And then there's a rack of, looks like, men's clothes. And the moniker at the beginning of that aisle is the Italian collection. Now, you think, looking at the Italian collection, looking down the aisle, it's about Italian clothes. It's not. The Italian collection is pastas and macaronis and pestos and ragus and tomato paste or whatever. The Italian collection refers to Italian food. There's a selection there. But just after the Italian food, there's a low rack and rack and rack of clothes which are open. I'll take Andrew Groves in Newbridge. What can you not sell and what can you buy down the road, Andrew?
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good, yeah.
Well, unfortunately for us now, we've been closed since the 24th of December. And it was just about a week or 10 days ago when I went into Lidl to do my local shopping for milk and bits and pieces. And I came across a rack of Slitters and GAA balls, which is obviously one of our staple products this time of year, because the GAA has all started and so on again. And I'm sitting on piles and piles of Slitters that we can't sell at the moment and we can't open, and you can go in and get them in Lidl, no problem.
And have you raised it with anybody?
Well, I actually tweeted that photograph. I tweeted that photograph about 2 weeks ago, and I got a huge response. I tagged Leo Varadkar in it. I tagged Lidl Ireland in it. Do you think I got a reply from them? Not at all. but it got a really, really big response. And I mean, it's sickening, especially with something like that, when I think the beginning of the lockdown, you would go into Lidl and the whole center aisles of their non-essential items, I suppose, they all those bins were empty. And gradually over the course of the last few weeks, they've been filling up and filling up and filling up. Yep. So you can stroll back in there and buy your lawnmower again. And
are you tempted to do what David McCarthy is doing? He said he's going to do in Galway, and that is reopen and break the regulations.
Well, this is the other issue, because I've been talking to other small retailers who have opened and who are trying to trade, and they get visited by the local authorities. So you just wonder now, is that same scenario happening to the bigger stores? Are Lidl and so on being visited by these local authorities and being told that they can't sell these items? I just don't know, and it's very disheartening.
I can hear that, and from all of you, so disheartening. Kieran Fitzpatrick, by the way, Kieran, do you have an online presence in Bamba Toy Master?
Yeah, we've just started it at bambatoys.ie. Okay. But we had to learn to crawl before we could run.
I know that.
I suppose I'm a bit of a dinosaur, because I've always been anti trying to sell online, because I didn't want to give my customers any excuse not to come into the store.
Because going into your store is an experience,
I think. But now that the customers can come in, we have set up an online.
Okay.
And we've been running about a month now. And
well, I want to give that a mention. I know Toy Master is a franchise, isn't it?
Well, it's a cooperative of independent toy retailers.
Okay. But Bamba Toy Master is now online.
At bambatoys.ie.
At bambatoys.ie. Okay. Okay. But that's you as well, is it? At Bamba Toy Master on Twitter.
It probably is, yeah. I'm a Luddite.
How long are you in the toy business?
Well, I was just thinking about that. My first sales, I think I was about 8 years old. I used to buy magnets off my dad for 4.5p. I used to sell them for 6 months school.
Good lad.
So then I got sacked when I was 12 from the shop in Cable Street, because the manager thought I was a messer.
What shop in Cable Street?
Yeah, well, my dad's shop in Cable Street.
Oh, okay.
And so then when I left school, I worked with Power Import. We are now Tesco.
Okay.
I went out on my own in the shop in 78.
Wow. That's when you opened Mary Street?
No, I opened Mary Street in 91.
Good man. That is some pedigree. If that is incredible.
Well, as I said, I'm a toy boy.
As you said yourself, you're an angry toy boy. Joe McKeeter is in Keane House in Cork. You went into Dunn's last week. What did you see, Joe, that sent your blood pressure through the roof?
Well, first of all, McQuitter is the name, and we're in Cove, the Keane House in Cove.
Okay.
Which is in the harbour, in Cork Harbour.
Okay.
I was last week, I had an appointment in Cork, medical appointment, and I was like a child out of jail, going around afterwards, looking around, having been in lockdown so long. And I went along Patrick Street, and I went into Dunn's and Patrick Street.
Dunn's, yeah.
Their door on the right-hand side was marked drapery, even though when you got inside the door, it was the same entrance as for the supermarket. But their supermarket is in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very easy to cordon off that area completely, so you can only go to the supermarket. Now, I went through the shop, upstairs, downstairs, there was up the escalator, everything was for sale, absolutely everything.
Okay.
Now, we could be doing children's shoes, underwear, children's clothes, etc. And during the last lockdown, we were advised not to. But it has been done by generally multiples and throughout the lockdown, rather brazenly. Mm. I know Dunn's had a page ad in the Irish Examiner before Valentine's Day, advertising flowers for Valentine's Day. And there's a young girl
across the street from us in Cove trying to make a living out of flowers. Well, yeah, she can't open.
We did that, and Lidl and Aldi were doing the same, yeah. And they were they had amazing floral offers for Valentine's Day and Mother's Day. How long have you been closed, Joe?
62 years.
No, that's how long you've been open. How long have you been? How long is your shop closed?
Oh, sorry, how long? We've been closed since Christmas Eve, obviously.
Okay.
We weren't allowed to open after Christmas. Then we were closed during October, November, after the first week of December. Now, the thing, and this, I was feeling for that guy in the toy business, for example.
Kieran, yeah.
I mean, the thing about toy businesses, specific toy business, they give service 12 months of the year. But the cream is taken from them.
Yeah.
Like the big boys again when Christmas comes. But all the toy shops were closed until the first week of December. And by the time they were opened, same as with us, a lot of the Christmas trade, the Christmas presents trade in particular, which is very important for people who are actually in the toy business, the cream of it was taken.
Yeah,
by the multiples,
because people
they're able to open with impunity.
Yeah, because people believe they had to get the toys to Santa earlier, or else they mightn't be available.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You know, but
Joe, when you say the drapery section of Dunn's, did you see people actually remove items from the rack and
heads? Absolutely.
Because Mary
and shoes and there were tills open,
so they were getting to the tills. Mary, good afternoon. Mary's in Carlow, I see. I hope.
Yes.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Well, you were in Dunn's.
Yeah, even at the weekend now on Saturday, and they have the ladies' three-quarter length, you know, summer white trousers or whatever, up coming just off the food, the meat section, and down towards where they sell the dog food and all that. There, about 3 weeks ago, they had men's jumpers that were originally, say, 25, 20 euros selling off for 5 and 3 euros.
And literally, where was the men jumpers rack?
Down beside the dog food. I went down to get dog food.
So the men were in the doghouse, not for the first time.
Well, no, that's it.
But are there normally men's jumpers among the pedigree chum?
No, not down there. Now, they do as you come up around the toiletry sometimes.
But you say these photographs I have from Paul Corson, whose line is not great and unusable at the moment. We'll try and get it back. But the photographs he's taken is, these are obviously clothes racks that have been squeezed in between the oven chips and the Yoplait yogurt, between the chef brown sauce and the fish fingers. So you say that the men's jumpers were squeezed in beside the dog food?
That's right, down away from the washing up powders and that. But in Carlow now, the ladies' clothes last Saturday were a good long rack of them just as you come around the corner from the meat section.
From them, the women were beside the meat and the men were beside the dog food.
Yeah, and even up in the ladies, up in the clothes section where you can go in and buy your tracksuit bottoms or your T-shirts, your tops, all that outdoor gear. You know, each week there's more added to it, like, you know, literally every week. And that's always been the way.
So you're saying there's more and more clothes becoming available in this?
More kind of summery, yeah. The shorts were there, I think... a week or two ago. I wouldn't be 100%, but I think I saw them, and
well, the summer
stuff. Know, there's just like they've done some, you can't even, my point is, if you want to get something for work, like say a man wants shirts or trousers, you have to order them online and you're a week waiting, and did you buy
male jumpers in the dog field section in Dunn's?
I did, there was no problem. You just go up to the counter with it.
Like a lot of people, people need jumpers, kids need clothes.
Well, it's just for work or whatever. But the fact you can't get working trousers is, you know, for a week later or 2 weeks, if you had an interview, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's the only shop, you know.
Yeah, okay. It's the only shop where you could get them at this stage. Okay, thanks, Mary. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, David McCarthy. Thanks, Joe McKeither in Cove and Kieran Fitzpatrick in Bamba Toy Master. Come on, Bamba Toy Master are on. They're on the internet now. They're also on Twitter at Bamba Toy Master. Let's give them a push because Kieran has been in the business how many years now, Kieran? Remind me.
Well, 43 on my own.
Okay, wow. What's the most popular toys this past Christmas, by the way?
Well, Barbie has had resurgent. She's come back very strong.
Okay.
WWF, Transformers, Pokemon.
And what about game, what about board games? We're talking about board games on Friday, and I have to give out the results of the two brain teasers I set on Friday as well. What about 30 Seconds?
30 Seconds, produced down in Cork.
Great, great.
We've sold plenty of that, and also in Cork Discover Ireland. So there's plenty of Irish games around there.
And what's going to be big next Christmas?
If I crystal ball show, I can tell you. It's so fickle, you never know. And that's the whole excitement of the toy trade. We're meant to be putting our orders down now for Christmas.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But again, just something comes out of the blue. And
well, so many toys are pardon the pun, tied in with movies and franchises that it's very hard to predict, isn't it?
Yes, you back a movie and all of a sudden it's a lemon.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It just doesn't take off.
Okay, so you're doing, you're online, and you say you're doing the deliveries yourself.
I'm doing something myself, yeah, to get started. It's actually been intriguing driving around because I've been in lockdown for the last year. But now that I have permission to do the deliveries, just the way Dublin is changing. Uh-huh. You know, around Clare Hall, all the new buildings out there.
Oh, incredible, yeah.
The Swiss cottage is gone. It's now five-story apartment blocks across the road and back of Buckley's. It's just amazing the amount of buildings going up.
Okay. Well, your campaign will continue.
Oh, yes, certainly. And as I say, it's call to arms to independent toy retailers. Get out there, buy a product, get your receipt and bring it to your guard station.
And be an action man.
That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Kieran Fitzpatrick, owner of Bamba Toy Master, one of the best, and it's besides Smith's, which is also a brilliant, brilliant store and a brilliant Irish company. But support them online, please, please, please. These are small businesses trying to survive. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I mentioned Kieran Fitzpatrick of Bamba Time Master in Mary Street in Dublin, according to Clause. But I mentioned when they did get eventually open just before Christmas, probably a bit too late for them, but they were open until they shut down again on Christmas Eve, effectively. And he said, Barbie, one of the big sellers last Christmas was e-scooters. And one family that bought one is the family of Linda Katasha in Dublin. Linda, good afternoon. Silence is golden. Are you there, Linda? Okay. Deborah Tudge. Deborah, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you keeping?
Good, thanks. Just again, this whole thing of people on bikes, it comes back to John this day last week and an incredible story of him being assaulted, seriously assaulted, and then somebody sending us a video of the assault made by the assaulters, believe it or not. And that's been currently being pursued by Blessington Garda, and I'm sure they'll give us updates through their press office if they get any breakthrough. They are looking, the Blessington Garda station are looking for any witnesses. But Deborah, tell us what happened to you on your bike.
Well, I suppose this must have been kind of mid last year, Joe. I was out cycling. I'm not a fancy cyclist. I have an ordinary mountain bike.
Yeah.
And I go out to get fresh air. It's a nice way to get out and about in the countryside. And a car passed me and I was spat at by the occupant of the passenger seat. And then a couple of weeks later, I was passing a petrol station and two youths took swigs of their drinks and projectiles spat at me and got all down the back of my jacket,
wow,
which was not pleasant at all. So luckily I wasn't far from home, so I went home and put everything in the in the washing machine and had a shower. But and those were quite close together, those incidences. But I have to say, by and large, motorists and passerby are really good. You know, they're really courteous. But that kind of event, especially when you have something like COVID around, is it shakes you, Joe.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course it does. Yeah. And did they say anything, Deborah, apart from the awful act?
No, they didn't. The car said nothing. It just sped off, and I didn't get a chance really to obviously see really who was in there. The young fellas in the garage, I just kept going, because by the time I was passed, I didn't realise, you know, it took a while to register, and I suppose I was so shocked I just wanted to get home, really. But no, they didn't say anything. They just decided they wanted to.
Yeah, well, it's the same with John's, which is not diminishing the upset, but the serious physical assault could have killed him, as he said. They laughed and moved on. They moved on. Okay, Deborah, thanks indeed. It's Deborah Tudge. Linda Katasha, yeah, I hope, is there now. Linda.
Hi, Joe. Okay. How are you?
Good. The scooter was got for Christmas. What much do electric scooters cost?
Well, this particular electric scooter cost 579.
Okay, wow. Okay. And what happened?
So my son was out playing in St. Anne's Park.
Which is in Dublin, Clontarf-Raheny in Dublin, yeah?
Yes, as he normally does with his mates.
Yeah.
After school, they were playing a bit of soccer.
Yeah.
And he put his scooter in a pile.
Mm-hmm.
So all the other boys had put their bikes there, their coats, their bags.
Yeah.
And my son had put his scooter down.
Yeah.
And he was about maybe a meter or two away.
Mm-hmm.
And five young people came over with masks on.
Wow.
And rooted through the bikes and picked up his scooter and sped off.
And is that the only item that they stole, Linda?
Well, from my child, they only took the scooter and they picked it up. So they targeted that scooter.
Because it's, well, so expensive and they're so popular at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. But it was at 5 o'clock. The park was full of people. People were there playing GAA and they were so blatant. They came in, picked it up and they caught that. Rode off.
And Annie, there does be Gardaí in that park, including Gardaí on horseback recently. Was there any Gardaí around?
Not at that moment. So what happened is my son called me and he called the guards. He was very brave. He rang the guards straight away and he rang me. So by the time I made it down, the guards were already on the way.
Okay.
But there was nothing they could do because these thugs had sped off.
And how did they escape? Did they have a car or just ram with it under their arm or on it?
From what my son and the other boys in his class tell me, they just sped through the park.
It's a big, big park. To get to an exit can take a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's not the first incident. I've had other parents who spoke about their bikes being taken in the last couple of months. Scooters are being targeted. And I just feel like something needs to be done because the kids don't feel safe to go out on their bikes, to go out on their scooters because they're going to be targeted.
Mm-hmm. Good point, yeah. And they are very valuable. They are so valuable.
Yeah.
And
but that doesn't mean they should be stolen.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's why people have to be... I don't know how you could be more vigilant, but it is...
You'd have to wear it like a coat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Linda, that's Linda. Any word back from the Gardaí? Did they say this is happening a lot? Or?
Yeah, the guards told me that they had five incidences reported that day alone between bikes and scooters being stolen.
Five that day alone?
That day alone, yeah.
Wow.
But the guards have been very helpful. And they've been in contact with me.
Okay.
But I should also say there's been a silver lining to this because when it happened, I went on Twitter and I posted and I said, if anybody tries to sell you this scooter, please don't buy it. it's stolen.
Okay.
And a lot of people shared and retweeted. And a very good Samaritan offered to give us a replacement of a scooter.
Wow.
So his name is Harry. I can't remember his second name.
Okay.
But his wife had been gifted a scooter for Christmas. So he offered my son that scooter. So I felt I should mention that. That okay. was a lovely gesture.
Oh, that's a fair play, Linda. That would restore your faith in humanity. Okay, Linda Katasha, thanks indeed, Linda. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Des McHale's brain teasers for just a light-hearted end to Friday's programme was which word begins with six consonants and ends with nine? Well, that's everyone got that within 10 seconds. Strychnine. Strychnine. Did you get it? S-T-R-Y-C-T and then N-I-N-E, nine. When you add 1 + 2 + 3, the answer is the same as when you multiply 1 by 2 by 3. 1 and 2, 3 and 3 is 6. 2 by 1 by 3 is 6 as well. Okay, when you add 1 + 2 + 3, it's the same as if you multiply 1 by 2 by 3. Okay, can you do this with 5 whole numbers? So what 5 whole numbers, put it another way, what 5 whole numbers, when added together, give the same number as when they are multiplied? Okay, this is, I love this type of stuff. And there's 3 answers to this. 1, 1, 2, 2, 2. Multiply them together, you get 8. Add them together, you get 8. 1, 1, 1, 3, 3. Add them together, you get 9, obviously. And multiply them 1 by 1 by 1. That still leaves it at 1 by 3, leaves it at 3. And by 3 equals 9. And then the other one is 1, 1, 1, 2, 5. Same again, 1 by 1 by 1 by 1 is 1, multiplied by 2 is 2, and multiplied by 5 is 10. There you are now. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Who wants... okay, Breed Slater, what were we doing? Wash your hands, asking... You're still on this. I was asking how many words can you make out of wash your hands. How many, Breed, so far? You there, Breed?
62.
How many so far? You there with 62. Well done. And the longest words, how many letters?
Six.
Shandy. Okay. Shandy, well done. Well done. And there's every day in our newspapers, by the way, Irish newspapers, The Star, The Sun, The Mirror, The Mail, The Irish Times to a lesser extent, and The Indo. But they have fantastic puzzle sections. Really fantastic. It's well worth buying a newspaper. Just some of them have 12 page, The Mail, The Star, The Sun, The Mirror, various. They all have at least 4 every day. But they're great puzzle sections for those that are interested. OK, today's producer was Lisa Marie Berry, and Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.